Proverbs chapter 15 and from verse 28. Proverbs 15 from verse 28. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. The Lord is far from the wicked, for he heareth the prayer of the righteous. The light of the eyes rejoiceth the heart, and a good report maketh the bones fat. The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul. But he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honour is humility. Amen. May God bless his word to us. And our theme this evening is God's grace and our words. God's grace and our words. One effect of God's gracious dealing with our souls is that it affects our speech. This much we have seen repeatedly in this book of Proverbs. So first of all, let us consider the tendency of grace is to think before we speak. The tendency of grace is to think before we speak. Verse 28. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. When we become Christians, our speech should improve. It does not become perfect. Sin is still present. And in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. Proverbs 10:19. It wanteth not sin. That is, it doesn't lack sin. If we multiply words, then it is fairly inevitable that some sin will be involved. And so when a sinner is born of the Spirit and brought to faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, it has an effect upon his speech. There is not perfect reformation of speech, but there is a change. True, if he is a talker naturally, he won't completely change, but there will be some difference. The righteous studieth to answer. He thinks about what he has to say. Why should this be so? Why should the believer in our Lord Jesus study to answer? Think before he speaks. Well, there are many reasons, although they all come down to one in the end. He cares about whether what he says is true. Ephesians 4:25, we read, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And of course, the ninth commandment forbids us and says, thou shalt not bear false witness. So that's one reason. Another reason is that the Christian cares about whether it is fitting. It's not enough to say what is true. Sometimes what is true can be said at the wrong time. Proverbs 25 verse 11 says that a word fitly spoken is as apples of gold in pictures of silver. So it must be true and it must be fitting. We are not obliged to tell everything to everyone all of the time. And also, if it's negative, is it necessary? We read there in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 about charity or love. That's just an older word for love. And 1 Corinthians 13, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. So, without this Christian love, then all knowledge and all endeavor and all activity, without this love in the heart, it is in fact worth nothing. And all of this comes down to this, that the Christian desires to adorn the doctrine of God our Savior. So he thinks before he speaks. Titus chapter 2 and verse 8. Titus chapter 2 and verse 8. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Verse 10, not palining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Saviour in all things. Christians care about the glory of God, and they care therefore as to whether their speech glorifies God and is consistent with the testimony to the gospel, or whether it is not. Whereas the wicked have no such considerations, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. Now, it's true that the wicked can restrain their speech for various reasons. They can be careful not to get themselves into trouble, not to overcommit themselves. But it's all about self-preservation, not the honour and glory of God. The people of God have a motive that the ungodly do not. And therefore our speech must be better, more considerate, more thought about, more accurate, more truthful, more appropriate than theirs is. Secondly, speaking to God is paramount. Speaking to God is paramount. Verse 29. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. First of all, consider the prayers of the wicked. They have no title to be heard. As for the far as the justice is of God is concerned, they have no advocate with the Father, and therefore they have no right or title to approach to him in prayer. They cannot say, as the psalmist, Psalm 31 and verse 1, David says, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. If God should fully manifest his righteousness against an unforgiven sinner who does not have the Lord Jesus Christ, as he will do in the judgment, then it would mean God's wrath would be poured out forever. Psalm 143, verse 1. Psalm 143 and verse 1. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness. It is both faithful and righteous, or just, for God to receive sinners in Christ. But without Christ, there is no entitlement to be heard until a man seeks the Lord and his forgiveness. Then there is no entitlement. He may choose to answer the ungodly, as in the case of Ahab, but he has never promised or covenanted to do so. But he heareth the prayers of the righteous. He has covenanted to hear through Jesus Christ the mediator. He has promised, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. For we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Now, in Scripture, it speaks of the Holy Spirit as our advocate, and it speaks of Christ as our advocate. And the difference is this: the work of the advocate was both to teach the client to speak, and also to speak on behalf of the client. In the first sense, the Holy Spirit is our advocate. In the second sense, our Lord Jesus Christ is the advocate. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. And when God receives a believer in Christ, he is faithful to his own promises. He said he would do just that, and he is just, or righteous. It is righteous for God to receive the unrighteous by nature when they come through Jesus Christ. And the assumption here is that the people of God do pray. It says, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. Those who are righteous through Christ and are being made righteous by the Spirit of Christ, they pray. He heareth the prayer of the righteous. So it is assumed that the righteous, the people of God, do pray. And prayer is fundamental to the Christian life. A prayerless existence belongs to a man who does not know God. Or if he has prayed and then leaves off, and it's a decaying state. Prayer is essential to a healthy Christian life. Then thirdly, seeing and hearing good. Seeing and hearing good. Verse 30. The light of the eyes rejoiceth the heart, and a good report maketh the bones fat. The meaning here is that the eye beholds the light, and the ear hears a good report. And these are the means of making the heart glad. When the eyes see what is worth seeing, and the ears hear what is worth hearing. So the Christian, when he looks upon the created world, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. When he hears good words, especially the words of the gospel, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Then that's good news. So that the Christian is made glad when he sees God's glory in displayed in the things that are made, and when he hears the gospel. He also heeds that word of the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So the Christian is glad when he sees what is good and when he hears what is good. And this, that is good for us, to the ear and to the eye. We are made glad by seeing and hearing. Not everything makes us glad. Asaph was filled with sorrow when he saw the prosperity of the wicked. But when we see the glory of God displayed, and when we hear the truth and no lie, then we rejoice, and our eyes and our ears become avenues of blessing. Fourthly, the humble take reproof. The humble take reproof. Verse 31. The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul. But he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honour is humility. So there is the wisdom of hearing reproof, as we were singing of in Psalm 141. A man who is born again is ready to be told. A man who won't be told anything, it's difficult to see how he can be born of the Spirit. A man who thinks he needs no progress, who knows it all, that man ought to examine himself whether he be in the faith. This is hearing unto life. The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. That is everlasting life. If it's heeded, it brings us into fellowship with God through Christ Jesus. And if it's heeded more and more, then we enjoy even in this life more of fellowship with God, which will be perfected in the world to come. Ultimately, refusal to listen is a sign of unbelief, and perhaps total unbelief and deadness in trespasses and in sins. A man who is wise in his own conceits, there is more hope for a fool than for him. The man who won't listen hates his own soul, verse 32. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. The man who thinks he's all right as he is. Do you, even if you're without Christ, do you think you're all right as you are? When we're giving out tracts, how often people say, no, I'm all right, but they aren't all right. Because they don't have the Lord Jesus Christ. They think they're all right. And they don't need to be told. But oh, they do. Well, will you be told? If you're not a Christian, will you be told? Do you want to be told the way of salvation appointed by God through Jesus Christ? Or would you rather hear flannel and peace, peace when there is no peace? Christ was exclusive in his claims and unique in his person and in his work. The Lord Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh. The Lord Jesus Christ was without sin. And the Lord Jesus Christ did what no one else could do. He bore the sin of many. This is the Saviour you need. But then, perhaps you are a Christian. Do you want to be told more? You're not saying, well, I'm saved, so that's it. But you want to know more. More about the Word of God. It's a sign of life to want to know more, if so be that we have tasted that the Lord is gracious, desirous, sincere as newborn babes, the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. It's a sign of health to want to be fed. If we can't be bothered, there's something wrong. But not only is the fear of the Lord the beginning of wisdom, but it causes a man to be instructed in further wisdom, to grow in grace. You see that it says there, but he that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. And before honor is humility. The instruction of wisdom. We know the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But those who fear the Lord want to be instructed in more wisdom. There is meant to be progress. And there must be progress in the Christian life. If we have stagnated, and it happens even to true believers, that for a time they stagnate, then we must shake off the sluggishness and call upon the Lord to heal all our backslidings, to restore our soul, and cause us to walk in the paths of righteousness. But the text also says, and before honour is humility. We need humility before honour. If we get honour without humility, we'll make a mess of it. Honour without humility is no great bonus. The man who hasn't humility cannot use honour rightly. Honour will do him harm. He's proud already, and the honour will make him more proud. It'll feed his pride. He'll get more proud still. Only the humble man who knows God's greatness and his debt to the Lord Jesus Christ can handle honour correctly. So that all the honour bestowed upon men, if they're not humble before God, believers in our Lord Jesus, it will feed pride. Might not show, but it will. Do you want honour? Well, never mind honour. What about humility? Do you think God is great and you're not? Do you think salvation is of the Lord and not at all of yourselves? Do you think by grace you're saved through faith and that not of yourselves? It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Christ is the Saviour. You're not. The Christian knows that, but he's learning it all his days. But the non-Christian never learns it. And he goes on in the love of darkness, in his pride of face, he does not call upon God until he is ruined in outer darkness. Well then, the application is simple. Have you started? Are you a believer in the Lord Jesus, or are you a fool? You see, there's no alternative. You may think you're very smart by evading the gospel, but you're really a fool. It doesn't matter how sophisticated the method you use to put the gospel to one side, you're still a fool. Because in Scripture, the fool is the man who won't listen to God. The first fools were Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And that foolishness has been the lot of men ever since. Unless God makes us wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Have you been playing the fool, pretending that you can progress, pretending that you don't need to listen to this gospel, pretending that your lot will be better in this world and you don't need to worry about the next? Remember the rich fool who laid up treasure on earth and he said, "Soul, take thine ease, thou hast much goods for many years to come." And God said to him, "Thou fool, this night thy soul is required of thee." Don't be a fool. Be a fool in the world's eyes. They think Christians are fools. We are fools for Christ's sake. But be what the world thinks is a fool, but not a real fool. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you progressing? If you're not a fool and you've been made wise to believe on Christ, are you progressing? Is your wisdom increasing? You may know new things, but if you're really wise, you know that you don't know a lot of things. And you need to learn. The man who is truly wise is aware that he doesn't know a great deal as well as what he does know. Do you read and learn the Word of God? Do you learn from the preaching of the Word, from Christian friends? Not just to store up knowledge in the head, but to live by the word of God. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Now we must be hearers and we must know what the Bible teaches. But do we want to do it? Because we love the Lord Jesus Christ. Have we lost our first love? And so we still go through the routine, but we're not eagerly learning so as to be doing. Does the knowledge of how much you still have to go make you a good listener and slow to speak? See verse 32. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul. But he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. Two different men. One thinks he knows and he doesn't. He doesn't listen. And he does harm to himself. And the man who has learnt the truth, but he wants more of it. He has learnt to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. He's been taught of him. And he desires to be rooted and built up in him. That's what we have in Colossians 2. There were men offering some fancy sort of ritual that would raise them to a higher level. But the apostle says, no, what you need is more of the same. You believed, you so learned Christ, you need to learn more and more of him, rooted and built up in him. You are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Are you becoming more Christ-like? Christ was meek and lowly of heart. What does that mean for the Lord of glory? To be meek and lowly of heart. It means he accepted the work that was given him to do. In his state of humiliation, he endured such contradiction of sinners, despising the shame. He was meek and lowly of heart, not denying who he was, but accepting the work assigned to him as the Christ of God, doing always those things which please the Father. And for us, do we accept our position? Do we accept what we are? Are we thoughtful in speech? And are we grateful in learning? Christ says, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Amen. Let us pray. O gracious and eternal God, we draw near to thee. We bless thee that thou art so gracious and so kind. Give to us a hearing ear and a seeing eye and a heart to believe all that is written, that we might rejoice in thy word as one that findeth great spoil, that our souls might be nourished in the truth as with marrow and fatness, that we might grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. So bless thy word to our hearts. Help us all to remember that before honour is humility, and to be humble-minded, to be caring for one another, to love one another and so fulfil the law of Christ. These things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.